services. That's what's on most of the church signs in all of America. Yeah. Only problem is that they ain't having worship services. Amen. It'd do us some good if we'd come in determined and praising the Lord and worshiping Him. Amen. Amen. I want to say again, thank you so much, preacher, and thank you, church, for allowing us to come, taking care of us while we're here, and feeding us and spoiling us and loving on us and getting to know us and all of those in between. And we've had a great week so far, and it's been a busy week. It's been a fast week, but I believe it's been a good week. Amen. I hope you've gotten some help from the Lord. Amen. In some capacity, in some way or form, that the Lord has encouraged your heart to continue on in faith. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. John chapter number 12 tonight. We'll find our text for the last service of this meeting. And I pray that you don't leave here saying tonight was the last night of revival. Hopefully, maybe it'll be the beginning of revival for someone. And this may be the last service of this revival series. But I hope that revival is just beginning down in your heart. Amen. And I don't know about you. I'm in church every night of my life. 52 weeks of the year, I'm probably in church around 45 of those 52 weeks. And out of the 356 days of the year, I'm probably honing in on 300 some days that I'm in church. And I guarantee you, I need revival. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, sometimes the more I go to church, the more I need revival. Amen. And the preachers know what I'm talking about. You go to some meetings and you think, dear Lord, I'm in worse shape leaving than I am when I got there. Amen. Thank the Lord that's not the case this week. Amen. His presence makes all the difference in the world. It absolutely makes a difference. And I want us to look at maybe something along those lines tonight in worship or in praise. And I think we get a beautiful example of that here in John's Gospel, chapter number 12. The Bible says this, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." John is always faithful to give the details. Somebody say amen. He is letting us know who he is and what he will do. "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence given to the poor? This he cared." Here's some more details. "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Would you pray for us tonight? Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you bless the reading of it now. Lord, I pray that you would help us expound upon these scriptures. Lord, I know that I don't have the words to say that would be of any help. I cannot change circumstances. I cannot give a word that would be the encouragement that someone may be standing in need of tonight. But Lord, I pray humbly that you would use us as a vessel and an instrument to relay the sound that you have for your people. And Lord, we'll be thankful for that. We pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased, honored, and glorified with everything that is said and done in this place tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake and glory. And the church said, amen. And one more time while I get a drink of water. Amen. I felt pretty good until my wife sprayed her hair with hairspray right before church, and the water ducts have opened up yet again. So here we go. I was feeling good, but now it's settling in again. Y'all pray for me. I love John chapter number 12. Matter of fact, I don't think you can really have a John chapter number 12 unless you first have a John chapter 11. What a beautiful family we have here in Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, this family, I believe, has encountered the Lord Jesus far more than the time that we have just here in John's Gospel 11 and 12. And we do have other instances where they were familiar with each other, where they have run into one another. But I believe that their friendship even goes beyond what we have of them in the Scriptures. I mean, this is the family that the Lord Jesus is acquainted with enough that he is literally sitting at their table eating a meal with them. He didn't just do that with everybody. Matter of fact, the more that you look in the life of Jesus, you find out that he would rather eat with sinners than he would with saints. Hallelujah. And he spent his time gathering around those that needed him most. And he wasn't in much of a place or in a position that he could just sit and fellowship. But I believe when it come to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that he took time out of his schedule to go and spend time with them. And so here we are in John chapter number 11, where Lazarus has fallen sick and Martha writes a letter to the Lord Jesus, "Come quickly, our brother whom thou lovest is sick." Well, you know what Martha's thinking. She has seen him do it all before. She has seen him heal before. She has seen him help before. And she knows that if he'll do that, and if you allow me to say it in this way, in this manner, for complete strangers, then surely he would come and do it for them. And you know how the story goes. There's one chapter that is given devoted solely to the story of Lazarus and his death, Lazarus and his sickness, Lazarus and his issues, and Martha and her sadness, and Mary and her weeping. You never hardly see a miracle get an entire chapter, but this one did. 57 verses worth of a story of a family that the Lord Jesus loved. And in his loving them, something pretty drastic happens. In his loving them, he did not answer their prayer. In his loving them, he did not show up when they called him. In his loving them, well, you say, why do you keep saying that? Because Martha said it to the Lord Jesus, "Lazarus, whom thou lovest." In his loving them, he didn't just hear the snap of Martha's fingers and show up. But matter of fact, when he heard, he stayed right where he was. He abode in the same place for a few days. And then when he finally started moving, he was moving in the opposite direction of the way that they needed to go to Bethany. And you know how the story unfolds. I'll try to get through it quickly. But as much as we can tell, the Lord Jesus has tarried too long to the point where he even said it to his disciples that Lazarus is sick and that the sickness is not unto death. Now, I don't understand why he said that, because in the very next thing that he said, "Our brother Lazarus is dead." You ever felt like your matters have went from bad to worse? He just said he wouldn't die. Now he's saying he's dead. And then the Lord Jesus said this in John chapter number 11. He said, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Why? Oh, now don't come up to me after this service and say, "Brother Jared, do you think the Lord's glad that I'm going through the hardest trial of my life?" And don't you try to put words in my mouth tonight. What I'm saying is what the Lord Jesus said concerning Lazarus's issue and Martha's issue and Mary's issue. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, he said, "I'm glad for your sake that I was not there." Why? "To the intent that ye may believe." Can I just say, now I ain't even got where I'm going, but if you'll help me, I'll get there quickly. Sometimes the Lord will let you go through some things that you don't understand, and he'll let some things get worse than what you even thought they were, just so at the end of it all, you may see Christ in a way that you've never seen him before. You'll see his power in a way that you've never seen it before. And at the end of the day, you'll say, "Lord, I believe." I'm trying to get to it. Real fast, got to go back through John chapter number 11. Just for a moment, the Lord Jesus finally gets there. Now we know he just told his disciples, "To the intent that you may believe." Then he finally gets there, and Martha's standing at the end of the driveway. She's tapping on her heels. She's waiting on him to get there. Somebody said he's coming down the road. And she walks out there to meet him. And the Bible says that Martha begins to preach to the Lord. Then Martha, verse number 20, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, Mary's still in the house, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now, let's take a little class from Sister Martha. Y'all ready for this? Sometimes it's better to not say to the Lord what you might be thinking. You may regret saying some things to the Lord after you have said them. Now, I'm also an advocate of pouring your heart out to God. David said, I poured out my complaint before God. And I have preached that you can complain to God when you don't like some things. But there's also some tones that you might want to stay away from in that complaining. And the tone, preacher, that I'm picking up on tonight is when Martha's talking to the Lord Jesus, she is one of these numbers. If you'd have been here, my brother had not died. Notice what the Bible says. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know. Martha has got a bad case of the I knows. Y'all know anybody? You can't tell them nothing. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. I mean, don't act like you married to them right now. This ain't a good time. This is a revival. It ain't a marriage conference. Somebody say amen. You'll have a revival 1 week and a marriage counseling meeting next week. Amen. Don't you look beside you, but you probably got a family member. You probably got a cousin. You got a coworker that you can't tell them nothing without them saying, oh, I know. Man, it's been so bad at my house. Man, the devil's been after us, and this has happened, and that happened, and you can't hardly tell them how bad your story is without them simply replying, I know. Martha's got a case of it. Oh, I know. Well, if my question would be this to Martha, if you knew, then why did you just get through chewing the Lord Jesus out for not coming when you asked him to? If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know. Oh, I know. Whatsoever you ask of your father, he'll give it to him. Jesus said unto her, thy brother rise again. Oh, I know. Then why did you act the way you acted? If you knew. Here's why. Because Martha saith unto him, verse number 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the... Uh-oh, better underline this. If you underline or make a marker, highlight in your Bible, underline these two words. The last day. Y'all don't want a Sunday school lesson, do you? We ain't even been to Calvary. Preachers, if I get this wrong, y'all can sit me down. It won't bother me a bit. Amen. Preacher, how long did you pastor for? Anywhere, altogether. Almost as long as I've been alive. So you have the full right, if I get this wrong, to sit me down. That's all I'm getting at. You be careful, amen. We ain't even been to Calvary. He ain't even really taught much about Calvary. And Martha has done spilled the beans of some conversations that they must have been having over biscuit and gravy. Woo! I know he'll rise again. When's he gonna rise again, Martha, since you know? Oh, the resurrection at the last day. Remember, you told us about that. What's she talking about? Something that nobody has talked about.
Right.
We have heard prophecy of the Son of God to come. We have heard prophecy of a baby boy that is born of a virgin. We have heard no prophecy of that baby boy coming again at a rapture, at a second coming. But somehow, in some way, oh, Sister Martha's done found out there's a day coming when the dead in Christ shall rise. And if nothing else, my brother will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Now, I'm trying. I got my timer going. Y'all can see it. I'm at 12 minutes, and I typically try to preach a 10-minute introduction, and y'all are making me not do it. And it's pouring rain. Hallelujah. We need the rain. And y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all ain't going to go stand in the rain. In the resurrection at the last day. Here's the problem. as Martha had all of those I knows built up on the inside of her, the same way that you and I get all those I knows built up on the inside of us. Well, it's been hard and it's been weary and it's been dreary, but I know the Lord's got it all under control. And we get up off them altars and we go sit back in our pew and we shake in our boots and we think, well, Lord, are you really under control? You really got it under control? Lord, is it really all going to work out for good? Lord, I can quote Romans 8:28 when I'm praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. But when I sit back down in my pew in my flesh, I don't know if I can really trust you in my situation. I don't know if I can really have faith through this. Is because we think we know, but we don't know. We don't know. Here's Martha's problem. Martha saith unto him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, here's where you got it wrong, Martha, is you are looking for a resurrection. She has proclaimed that she is aware and that she has the knowledge of a resurrection coming someday. But Jesus said, Martha, quit looking for a resurrection. And I want you to look right here at my Father-given eyeball. Somebody help me right there. He said, Martha, you are looking at the resurrection. Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You and your eye knows. You ain't got a clue, Martha. Oh, I wonder tonight, maybe you have been trying to have faith in God through what you know. Come on. Let me try it on this side. You are trying to have faith in God for your circumstance, for your problem, for your faith in any aspect of life. You have been trying to have faith in God through what you know. Through what you've seen God do. Through what he's proven already in your life. See, it's easy to believe that God can put food on your table when he's done it before. It's easy to believe that God can pay your bills when he's paid your bills before. I've seen him do it. I've seen him put food on my table. I've seen him put clothes on my back. I've seen him take care of some needs. And Martha has too, but she ain't never seen God raise her brother from the dead. And she's trying to have faith in God only based off of what she's seen him do before. And what she thinks she knows. See, here's the problem. Is we got 66 books in our hands tonight. And I'm going to say something right here, and I hope you don't throw your church red back church hymnal at me. I don't know everything from Genesis to Revelation. The guest preacher. Can you believe it? You would think the evangelist been preaching now for 16 years. Been saved now for over 20 years, and you would think that from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 that I'd get it all figured out by now. Let me tell you something. I know some things about this book. I know some things about the doctrine of salvation. I know some things about a man getting born again. I know some things that I stand firm on and sure on, and I will not be persuaded either way about those things. But there are some things, if you want to go dancing through Ezekiel and Daniel and tying it all back into Revelation, don't call me. Call 1-800-Dr. Ralph Sexton Jr. He's got that all figured out. I don't. Ain't got a clue. Now, I know what I believe. I don't believe I'm going through 1 ounce of tribulation. Amen. I can go tell you some scripture that I can prove that with. Yes, amen. But when it brings all of those things together and those days of trouble and Daniel's visions and all that, whoop, right over my head. There's some things in the scriptures that, boy, when you start really digging into them, that I just have not figured them out. But can I just be honest with you? And a preacher told me this just a few years ago. He had been preaching at that time for about 35 years. Preacher, and he's about 73 years old now, one of my daddy's best friends. And he looked over his wire-rimmed glasses at me. He said, son, I don't know it all either. He said, but I believe every word of it. Can I tell you something tonight, child of God? It's not up for us to understand everything about this book. His ways are a little bit higher than our ways. Our God is a little bit smaller. smarter than man tonight. It's not our job to understand it all, but it's my job to understand and believe by faith that it's right. I believe it all. Martha. Oh, I know. No, you don't. Martha, you've been looking for a resurrection, but you need to look at the resurrection. I am. And you know what? Notice what he said at the end of that statement. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He's got a question for Martha. Believest thou this? Because she has believed some things apparently from his other times being around this family, from the other conversations. Matter of fact, I'd say that she believed by faith that one day there's coming a resurrection day. And she reminded him of that. And he said, Martha, you're getting so far ahead that you forgot the simplicity of who I am. Do you believe this? And you know, Martha, she's already twice told us what she knows. And so I'm already anticipating for her to reply with the third time. And her answer to simply be, oh, I know. Martha, believest thou this? Oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I know that. I know that. But not now. The Lord has grabbed her by the hand so graciously and walked her down salvation's road one more time and reminded her of who he is. He is a blind eye opener. He is a lame man walking miracle God. He is a powerful performing Savior. Miraculous ways and miraculous words flow from his hands and flow from his mouth. But he's so much more than that. He is the Savior. Whoever believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes. And I thought she was going to say, I know. But not tonight. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You know where the Lord may be trying to get us to tonight, and he may even be trying to get me in some of my issues and some of my situations, is to get to the place where I admit to him I don't know it all. Because if I know, then I'll fix it in my own power and in my own strength and in my own ability. But if I'll get to that place where I admit to God, I don't know. But let me tell you what I do. I believe. I'll just believe him when it don't make sense. I'll just believe him when I don't see a way out. I'll just believe him when it seems like there is no way. I'll raise my hand and sing my song that he makes a way where there ain't no way. I'll just have faith in God and say, even though I don't understand, yea, Lord, I believe. The Lord Jesus, he walks through that scenario with Martha. Mary comes back to the Lord and comes back to that place of positioning herself at his feet like she has always done and pours her heart out to him. And the Lord Jesus says, now I need y'all to do me something. He said, I need you to take me to where he lay. And he walks up there to that place. And, you know, Martha still has no clue. He said, I want y'all to roll away a stone. And just like Martha, and just like you, and just like me, she has a reason why he should not do what he's fixing to do. Come on. Come on. Lord, I don't know if that's a good idea. Why, Martha? Because by now he stinketh. Are you sure you want to do that, Lord? Why are we so judgmental to the things that the Lord wants to do in our life? Why do we have an excuse for everything that he wants to do? I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching to nobody. I'm preaching to me and you because you look like you with me, and I'm just going to look at you. And I don't want to look at anybody else and get myself in trouble. I got safe people. I got the preacher here, and I got the... Are you a preacher? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I got a preacher here, and I got a preacher there, and I got my uncle here, and he's a preacher too. I got four preachers that if I feel like I may be treading on some thin ice, I just whoop, right here I am preaching to these four. And just like Martha, we start telling God why he can't, even after he just got through proving himself. Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. Now roll away the stone. Bad idea. Why? Because I know something you don't know. Well, Martha, what do you know that I don't know? Well, I know he's been dead for 4 days, so he's stinking. And you don't think he knew that? You don't think he knows how deterioration works? You don't think he understands what death is all about? They didn't embalm folks back in those days. There was no formaldehyde to be placed in a body. There was no curing to be done to a body. They put that body in there just like it was when it took its last breath. That thing ain't smelling good. He knew it. And her reasons and her excuses. She said, oh, Lord, that ain't a good idea. He said, let me tell you what a good idea is. Just go ahead and roll away the stone. And then he does something that's pretty special. As soon as that stone was rolled away, the Bible said that he lifted up his eyes and began to pray. Father, can you imagine God the Son praying to God the Father? You know, every time that God the Son prayed to God the Father, big things happened. I ain't got time to preach this. This might be another sermon. I need to start working on it. Every time we find him, and I'm sure he did it more than what we just have recorded tonight in our scriptures. Matter of fact, the Bible says if all the miracles in the Word of God were written down, or all the miracles of the things that Christ did, we couldn't contain them in a book. I believe there's probably more times, but every time we find him praying, we find him praying here in John 11. We find him praying in Matthew chapter 27 and in John's gospel and Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel when he lifted up his eyes in the garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. We find him praying and salvation's on the way. We find him praying in John 11 and resurrection's on the way. Big things are happening. And can I tell you tonight, we've got an advocate with the Father sitting out the right hand, who is the Son of God, and he's making intercession for you and I, and big things happen when he talks to his Father. Yes, sir. Every time you come down here, and every time you get behind that steering wheel, and every time you lay your head on your pillow at night and you say, Father, amen, the Holy Ghost says we got some mail. And he takes the word up to heaven and he drops it in the lap of the Son of God. And the Son of God leans over to the ear of the Father. And in the Father, he tells them that petition that we have sent toward heaven. And guess what? It ain't no different than John 11. It ain't no different than the Garden of Gethsemane. It's our advocate making intercession once again. And big things are happening every time we pray. That ain't my sermon, but I felt like I needed to say it while I was there. Roll away that stone. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me. Uh-oh. Sometimes? No. All the time. Always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! The old preacher man said it like this. The reason why he had to specifically call Lazarus that day is because he had never spoken with such power. He had never spoken in a place of such death and desolation. And if he would have just said, come forth, every grave in that graveyard would have busted open that day with the power of the spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to call him by name the same way he called you one day and the same way he called me. He called us by name to come forth back to life. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, ain't you glad that he called your name one day? I'm trying to get to John chapter number 12 if y'all would let me. Thank you. And here comes Lazarus. The Bible said, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Somebody ought to be thankful tonight that he didn't just call you back to life, amen, but he changed who you were. Amen. And the things that had a hold of you had to let go of you. Does anybody know? Hallelujah. Brother, thank you for that song that you sang last night. I know I done told you once, but I want to tell you again. Thank you for singing it with a heart that we could tell that you meant what you was talking about. Don't know your story. Don't know where you came from. Don't know the life that you've lived, but I could tell there was a man that was singing a song about a past last night that I don't want to know anything about. All I want to know is about a man sitting at a piano singing about a God that delivered him from a rough life. And I'd say tonight that you know what it's like for the Lord to speak some things in your life to loose you and to let you go, and you're able to walk around in liberty and in freedom tonight. And everybody that's walked up Calvary's Hill and Calvary's Road and experienced the shed blood of Jesus applied to your life, you know what it's like, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Chains fall, amen, the wounds are healed, and life is changed. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, because Christ makes the difference tonight. Makes the difference. I've preached a 28-minute and 31-second introduction. My heart rate's about, well, this says 85, but it'll catch up in a minute. It's about 130. Woo! John chapter number 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. One day I'm going to preach a sermon simply titled this, I'm glad we a bunch of has-beens, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped her feet with his hair, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And for about seven, can I have 7 minutes? Is that too long if I preach 37 minutes? I want us to see the worship that is fixing to take place. Why did I have to preach a 28-minute introduction through John chapter 11? Because John chapter number 12 don't make no sense without John chapter number 11. It don't make no sense why a little girl would walk into a room with an alabaster box and break it, and an odor fill the room, and everybody get to enjoy what she has given to the Lord Jesus, outside of knowing that this little girl's brother has been dead, outside of understanding that they thought that all hope was lost, outside of understanding that they thought that there was no way that they would ever have another meal with their brother. But Jesus steps in for 4 days late, he's still right on time. And here comes Mary saying, you don't know what he did for me. You don't understand. I thought it was too far gone. I thought there wasn't no hope. I thought there wasn't no chance. So if he's able to do that, then I'm able to worship him. I'm going to give him all that I have. Outside of John chapter number 11, why would a girl fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus and wipe his feet with her hair as tears stream down? What I'm trying to get you to understand is, outside of where God has brought you from, that song wouldn't have made no sense to anybody else. Outside of what God has done for you, when they were singing he's still on the throne tonight, and I watched you as you jumped up and threw one leg in the air and two hands up in the air and you shouted glory, hallelujah, that wouldn't make no sense to anybody else. But I guarantee you, to you and to you and maybe a few others, they understand why my preacher gets excited when he thinks about God still being on the throne. It's because something happened back there that made it worth shouting over here. She walks in. Let me give you just a quick thought. I'm through. How is Mary able to worship? Notice number one, her entrance. Then took Mary. Number one is, she has brought something with her. You are not going to be able to worship the Lord if you ain't bringing nothing to church with you. Don't expect to be able to shout if you didn't bring your shout with you from the house. Don't be expecting that it's going to get on if you didn't get on before you got here. Well, old brother so-and-so will get excited. Quit depending on someone else to do all the worshiping. I tell you what you do before you come to church. Amen. On Sunday morning when revival series of meetings is over. Amen. Sunday morning before you get here, before you ever stand in the choir, before you ever get in the pew, before you ever get in the car, before you ever walk out the door, before you ever spray your hair with hairspray, and before you even put your church clothes on, I dare you to go find somewhere in your house and get alone with God and say, Lord, I'm not showing up empty-handed today. I want to take some tears. I want to take a shout. I want to take the joy. I want to take God with me. I'm going with something in my hands. Then took Mary. She brought something with her. Then she believed something. She believed that what she brought was better broken in his hands than remaining together in hers. You know what you have to worship God with? It might be something really good to worship him with, but it is of no value the way it is right now. It will become more valuable after it is broken into a million pieces in the hands of God than it is put together exactly how you want it and kept in your position. It was very costly, John tells us. It was worth a lot, John tells us. It was valuable, John tells us. But we can see, as that odor is filling that room, that it was worth a whole lot more shattered on the ground. Amen. Than it was sitting on her nightstand. Saved for the day of her marriage, saved for the day of her wedding. Like it was intended to be, like it was made to be, like she had saved for it to be. She took what she thought was valuable and said, no, the value is when it becomes his and when it's no longer mine. Can I tell you, you want to worship God tonight? Give him what you're holding on to. Come on. Yes, sir. Give him what you think you need to take care of. Give him what's most important in your life. Now, you know what? We know it's better off in the hands of the Lord Jesus than in the hands of man. Your home is better off in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Your heart is worth more in the hands of the Lord Jesus than it is in your control. Your marriage, your children, it is far better off in the hands of our great God than it is in our own possession. Not only did we see it in her entrance that allowed her to worship, and in her worship, we see there's an evaluation. Notice what happens quickly. I'm trying. Then saith one of his disciples in verse number 4, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Notice this question. Notice this word. This word bothers me. This statement bothers me, but the way it starts out, the one word that he starts his sentence with, it bothers me tonight. When he asks, why? Let me tell you something real fast, and I'll try to move on because I don't know if I'll grieve the Lord, but I'll probably grieve somebody. Preacher, you ever had somebody come up to you, and I'm not talking about here, maybe somewhere else, in ministry, in service unto the Lord, and they said, Preacher, why? Why we got to do that? Why we got to go here? Why we got to sing this? Why we got to preach that way? Why do we have to have this color carpet? Why do we have to have those color pews? Why do we have to paint the walls this color? Why do we got to do that? And it seemed like everything's just going right and God's being honored and God's being glorified and folks are getting saved. And the next thing you know, somebody's got a question, why? Come on. You ain't never had that happen, have you? You never had that happen, have you, preacher? You know what I have come to the conclusion of? We better be careful asking why in the middle of a worship service. Amen. If what is on your heart is interrupting someone else's worship, leave it alone. This is the last night. I figured I might as well.
What you gonna do, tell me to leave? I'm going home anyways. Huh? And I'm taking cakes with me. I've been in churches before, and I'm not a pastor. I'm raised a pastor's kid. And I have seen my daddy do it, and I have tried to be very careful, when, especially when I'm in another man's pulpit. And I have stood up, and I've told my text before, and right in the middle of it, someone stand up and, "Preacher, can I just say something for the Lord?" And I just stood out the way. Preacher might be sitting right there. I just look at him, and, you know, that's you, the pastor. But there has been just a handful of times. And I was preaching one night in Mississippi years ago. I mean, God was moving, and it was time for preaching. We had had people get saved every night of that meeting. And I knew it was preaching time, like I knew my name was Jared Dixon. And I told my text, and I got my breath, and I went to start reading, and all of a sudden someone said, "Preacher, can I say something further?" I said, "Now ain't the time." You know, you ever seen it, preachers? And I knew that God was doing something, and that we didn't need nobody interrupting what God was doing. And you know what Judas was doing? He was not necessarily concerned with the worship service. He was not concerned, is Christ being glorified? Matter of fact, he was bothered that Christ, God in the flesh, was being glorified and worshiped, and the only thing that he could think of to stop it was to bring up some money. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? And John's little extra details reminds us, not that he cared for the poor. But because he was a what? A thief. Let me give you all a little verse of scripture. You ready for it? The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the thief that is after your home, and the thief that is after your family, and the thief that is after your walk with God is the same thief that showed up in John chapter number 12 that could not stand seeing the Lord Jesus being worshipped and glorified and honored, and he was trying to steal, kill, and destroy right there in a little old house outside of Bethany. And he was trying to take what God was so worthy of in the worship that he was worthy of. Let me say something, and I'm trying to move along. In this evaluation, number one, where did he come up with that evaluation? And I understand the principle of it. It was a literal evaluation, I'm sure. When he looked at what she had brought before the Lord and broke that box, he probably knew the going rate at that time in those days, what it would cost to get one of those boxes built and saved up for. He probably knew all that. But who is he to evaluate someone's worth? He didn't know what her worship was worth. He knew what that box was worth, but it ain't about that box. Amen. It ain't about what was inside that box. It was about what was inside of little Mary's heart when she gave it all to the Lord Jesus and she said, "Here's my praise and here's my worship." Her evaluation. I got to move on. What I'm trying to say is, anytime you feel like you need to ask why, you better just hold on to those questions and let God be God and let the worship continue and don't stop someone else's praise on the account of your question. Instead of why, he should have said wow. Instead of why, he should have joined in with her. Instead of why, he should have just participated in the praise instead of spectating in it. We see her evaluation, and then we see her elevation. Lastly, and I'm through. The Bible said in verse number 7, "Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." In her elevation, we see this simply. We see the defense. We see the Lord Jesus stand. Can I say something to you, child of God? When the world stands up against you, when the Judases of this world stand up against you and try to give their evaluation of what your praise is really worth or what it ain't worth, you do not have to defend yourself. He will defend you for you. Why? Why was this not sold and given to the poor? I never seen where Mary had to turn around and said, I'll tell you why, because my brother was dead. Judas knew that. She never had to tell and explain why she felt the need to worship the Lord in that manner, that day, in that house, to all of those that was standing by and watching. She didn't have to explain herself. But let me tell you what did happen. Why she is down there worshiping him, and why Judas is mustering up the question of why, and he speaks up. Let me tell you what happens. Is there's a little girl that is down there at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Tears are falling. She's wiping his feet with her hair. And all of a sudden, boy, I feel like Judas locked eyes with a set of eyes that he'd never seen before that night. When the Lord Jesus looked down at him and he said, leave her alone. He ain't never been talked to that way. He probably seen eyes of fire in the Lord Jesus that night. The Lord already knew who Judas was. He knew before he ever told him to be a disciple. And he knew in that moment when he was trying to hinder the worship of little Mary. And the Lord said, I'll handle the defending around here. Let me tell you what the Lord will do for you and I tonight. He will enable us to stay where we are and to keep worshiping him, how he is worthy of our praise and our worship, and how we ought to be worshiping and praising him. And if we'll do our part, he'll do his. I don't have to explain myself tonight. I might have to in some ways. You know, people say, why do you preach that way? I don't know. That's the way God put it in me. That's my explanation. Why do you sing that way? I don't know. That's the way God put it in me. But can I tell you, when people call and they ask and they wonder about this, and preacher, they call and they ask, and I don't know about y'all services. I don't know about the way that. You don't have to defend yourself. All we have to do is stay right there where the Lord's allowed us to get close to his feet, and he'll do the defending for us. And in our defending, he elevated her. He lifted her up. And we're fixing to see that he'll put Judas down. Yeah. I tell you, the Lord will take care of you. And I wonder tonight, at the end of this revival, sis, whoever's coming to the piano, if you want to come back and begin to play and get the song of invitation ready, brother, come on. I wonder tonight, could we leave this revival service, this revival meeting, with a heart of thankfulness and a heart of worship? You know what Mary is good at doing? She is good at doing exactly what she's doing in John chapter number 12. Amen. The first time we're ever introduced to this little family in Luke's gospel, we find Martha. And she's asking the Lord Jesus, she says, Lord, can you tell her to help me more? That's the Jared Dixon version, if that's all right to use that one. Can you tell her to help me more? I got a lot to do and I need some help. And the Lord looked at her and she said, Martha, he said, thou art cumbered about with much serving. He said, but she hath chosen a good part. And the first time we're ever introduced to this little family, we find Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And then the second time we ever see this family is in John chapter number 11. And guess where we find Mary? At the feet of the Lord Jesus. The first time we ever find her, she's sitting at his feet receiving his word as he's teaching. She's doing something she ought not have been doing anyways, according to judicial law. And I ain't got time to preach all that or give a Sunday school lesson, but she shouldn't have been there, but she was there. She's getting the word. Second time we ever see, she's at his feet giving him her worry because her brother's dead. And the third time we ever find her, guess where she's at? Back at his feet. And this time she's giving him her worship. Amen. And I say something to you tonight, you'll find everything you need at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Don't leave the place of his feet. Just stay there and continue to worship. Do you have a John 11? Do you have a story tonight that you look back on and say, I have a reason to have a John 12. I have a reason to get at his feet. I have a reason to praise him. I have a reason to worship him. He's been good there, and I'm going to worship him here. He was faithful even though I didn't think he was faithful, so I'm going to worship him. He came through even though I thought he was too late, so I'm going to worship him. He did more for me than what I even asked for. Don't you understand? They was asking for him to heal Lazarus, and no, he didn't heal him. But what he did do was more. He raised him from the dead. So since he did more, I'm still going to worship him. You got a reason tonight for your John 12, for your place of worship. We're standing together all over the congregation. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the people of God, their ear to listen, their heart to receive. Lord, and I pray that tonight that you'd bless them and help them some way through this meeting, through this sermon tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake and glory. Amen and amen. Our brother's got a song of invitation tonight. 181. If you need to come and worship him, maybe you need to come and thank him for your John 11. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I need to get back to your feet. Lord, I want to be faithful in my place of praise, my place of worship.